Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman along with Mike Simpson. President Biden has found a creative way to try to boost vaccination rates across the country. The president will mandate that companies with 100 workers or more to require their employees be vaccinated or tested weekly. That impacts as many as 100 million people, but can he do that legally? We'll ask a lawyer. We'll also get into whether companies can deny sick pay to unvaccinated workers who get sick with COVID. And how about going to the doctor and getting just one vaccine shot for COVID and the flu? It's probably coming. A U.S. senator's cancer diagnosis highlights how the pandemic has disrupted routine screenings meant to save lives. Let's start with President Biden's new vaccination plans. With us is Dr. Gigi Granville, immunologist and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and attorney Rachel Kahn, who specializes in labor law. Rachel, let's start with you. Can the president require vaccinations and weekly testing for large companies?
Well, he has certainly he has directed the Department of Labor and specifically the Department of Occupational Safety and Health, OSHA, to draft an emergency rule on this. And he has directed OSHA and the Department of Labor to do similar mandates when it comes to COVID before. Previously, to update OSHA's guidance regarding COVID, and as well as had directed them to issue a previously an emergency rule to healthcare, their emergency temporary standard that regarding COVID that applies to the healthcare industry. So this is certainly nothing new for the White House, but certainly a new leap and in the vaccination category.
Is it a pretty big leap? Like, did you see it coming? Because it's kind of been talked about this way. You know, the federal government doesn't have the power to mandate vaccines across the board. Maybe it's a states' rights kind of thing. But it could, some said, become this workplace safety issue. And it looks like it has.
You know, we've certainly seen OSHA start to creep towards that on its own already. Its previous guidance that it put out, it asked that employers facilitate vaccines for their employees and strongly recommended that employers have programs that mandate vaccines. So we certainly saw OSHA starting to go in that direction already. So, you know, it was certainly a surprise today, I think, to everyone, but not as surprising when we look at what OSHA has already put out in its guidance.
Dr. Granville, let's look at it from a medical point of view. I would imagine that anything that increases, the numbers of people in this country who are vaccinated against COVID would be a good thing. On the other hand, kind of mixing the medical with the legal issues and political ones that I can see coming up with this, there's always the potential that this sort of thing could backfire and make some people and some businesses in some parts of the country dig their heels in even more. So I don't know. From a medical point of view, I guess the answer is it's good.
It's absolutely good. It's so refreshing to see a White House that's willing to, you know, pull out all the stops and so that to protect the public's health. Because right now, there's a lot of people in the United States who have gotten vaccinated and have taken that step. And that vaccination is helping to protect all those people who are under 12, for example, who can't get the vaccine yet. And the people who are unvaccinated, who are resisting the vaccine, and I know there are people who, you know, still need to have more information about it, but they are causing the danger to the rest of the people who are vaccinated, so, and who can't be vaccinated. So this is a very refreshing step, pulling out all the stops to make sure that the public's health is protected.
Rachel, back to you on these legal issues. If a company, and I can imagine this is going to happen, says this is an overextension of presidential power, I'm not going to mandate my workers be vaccinated, and I'm not going to give them time off, which is my understanding would be part of this, by the way, that they would have to then be given, if they don't get vaccinated, time off at company expense to get weekly testing. What would be the grounds for a lawsuit?
That's a great question. And, you know, certainly we will likely see some of those, and it may come down to, you know, certain constitutional issues potentially. But, you know, there's a lot of risk to do that as well, because this, you know, this law bakes into it a $14,000 penalty per violation for employers that don't comply with it. So, you know, I certainly would see some potential, you know, we'll likely see some potential lawsuits around it, but certainly non-compliance with it can have some very heavy risk and penalties.
Do you think that also kind of pushes employers to just mandating this on their own, the fact that there could be penalties, or the fact that now you're going to have to provide the time off, at least as we read it here, for people going and getting their tests? There could be companies saying, I'm not going to give you guys the time. You get your shots, so we don't have to do this dance every week.
Well, you know, I think it'll certainly depend on how many employees choose to test as opposed to vaccinate. It can be a huge administrative and operational burden for an employer to give the time off for employees to go test, potentially having to pay for that testing. And of course, you know, you would have to stay on top of it as an employer, making sure that employees do it, making sure that you're collecting that information, keeping it confidential because it's going to be medical information, and how you're going to be appropriately storing that. So the testing component of it at that frequency is certainly going to have an additional operational burden for employers. So certainly I could see some employers taking the position that, you know what, just mandate it actually might be the easier route to go.
Dr. Granville, can you think of other cases with vaccinations where the government, other than healthcare workers, perhaps, where the government has required private businesses to have their employees vaccinated? I mean, schools have certainly can, but that's usually done out of state mandates, right? Not federal. Can you think of any cases with vaccinations for federal?
So I can only think of the kinds of vaccination requirements that, for example, the Department of Defense has had. Certainly, you know, medical professionals have to often have to be vaccinated, have a bunch of vaccinations to be able to practice or to have contact with patients. For quite a while that the U.S. government has had broad powers for public health and has chosen not to exercise them in this case. which is, in going back the last few years. So it's really refreshing that we have one standard that employers have to adhere to, instead of just trying to get some employers to do the right thing or to some hospital systems to do the right thing, that we have a, one rule for everyone.
How do you feel about the back and forth in some sectors about whether to provide that opt-out for the testing, the weekly test? Because you're not going to catch everybody with those all the time, especially, you could come down with the virus a day after your test or 2 days, and then you've still got the rest of the week to get through until your next one.
Sure. Testing is a moment in time, and that's true of any kind of test for any kind of disease. So it's that's true, but I also appreciate that for a lot of people, you don't want to force them to get something that they don't want. Just make it highly inconvenient for them to not get the vaccine. By the way, the vaccine is safe, effective, and free, and people really should want it because it will reduce your risks of death and long-term illness if you get COVID, and there's plenty of COVID around. So it's really in your best interest to get the vaccine.
Dr. Gigi Granval, immunologist, senior scholar, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Rachel Kahn, attorney in the Labor and Employment Group and member of the Occupational Safety and Health Practice at Nixon Peabody in San Francisco.
Going to the doctor's office just once is hard enough for most people. Moderna has figured out that apparently that's the case, and so has announced a two-for-one deal, a combination of a COVID vaccine booster and flu shot. This comes as Pfizer says it's making progress on a COVID-killing pill. Dr. Michael Sag is an infectious disease physician and associate dean of global health at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Doctor, what kind of progress is Pfizer making on its pill?
Well, they're starting up with a phase 2-3 study, which is the type of study that not only looks at safety, but real efficacy. Does this thing work? And so they started enrolling patients in that, and I suspect that'll roll along for about 3, maybe 4 months, because they've got to put about 1,100 people in the study.
And if this ends up being successful in the study, this would be what? Would this be a kind of next to vaccines, a kind of quantum leap in the treatment of COVID?
Yeah, I would say, I'm not sure I'd call it quantum leap, but it'd be an important step forward. Let's look at some of the details here. We know that when somebody gets infected with COVID, there's basically two phases of the infection. The first 6 days is what I would call the viremic phase, when the virus is replicating at a very high degree. And the second phase is the immune response phase, where people get sicker and end up in the ICU. So the idea here is to use this antiviral drug very early, before the virus can rev up, or as it's revving up, and that drug will come in. It's an oral treatment, much like we use Tamiflu for influenza. This would be used early on in the viremic phase for COVID.
That would depend on me getting to my doctor pretty early, though, to catch it.
Exactly. So everyone should monitor for symptoms, assuming this drug gets approved. Once you get some degree of symptoms, get tested right away. And if you test positive, then you get on that medicine as fast as you can.
All right. Now let's talk about Moderna's two-for-one shot, a COVID/flu shot. Sounds like a good idea, is it?
Yeah, I think, sure. Theoretically, it's a really good idea, because we're going to be needing flu shots every year. We know that. It may be that the COVID shot is required once a year as well. And so this would be, as you said, a twofer. What I think is hidden in this messaging is that the coronavirus is going to be with us for a while. This is going to become some degree of a new normal. The best way we as individuals can fight it and deal with it is everyone to get vaccinated right now. If you're not vaccinated, you've been thinking about it, now's the time to do it, because until we get a substantial number of people in our country vaccinated, the serious illness and the death tolls will continue to rise. If we get vaccinated, be it in the combo vaccine or just with the regular Moderna, Pfizer, whatever, that's going to keep us safe and out of the hospital. And that's what we all need to do right now.
So they change the flu vaccine every year for whatever flu is going around. Do we expect them then to tailor their coronavirus shot to whatever variant is out there each year?
It's a great question. That is very possible with an mRNA vaccine. It's very easy to do. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if, let's say, 3 years from now, we're still dealing with this. We need boosters. Yeah, to me, it would make some sense to modify it just like we do the flu vaccine. We'll see how that all plays out.
Now, I'm presuming that the Moderna combo vaccine, the flu part would also be right messenger RNA, and there's never been an mRNA flu vaccine. Conventional flu vaccines, as you know, the success rate is, depending on the year, what, about 60% if you're lucky. Would one suspect or expect that a messenger RNA flu vaccine would be much more effective?
I would hope so, but we'd have to have the data to prove it. Your point is spot on, that the best the flu vaccine works is maybe 50%, 60%. And it does keep people out of the hospital. You can get sick with the flu like we all have, even having had a vaccine. But the difference is, coming back to the big picture, the full story, as we've been talking about it, let's say we get our COVID vaccine, we're protected. Despite that, we have a breakthrough infection down the road. Hopefully there'll be drugs like either the Pfizer product that we first started talking about, or Merck has a product that's similar that they're working on. It's a little bit different, but if we get those early treatments and vaccines, that'll be a pretty good firewall against coronavirus into the future. I hope it all comes true.
Dr. Michael Sagg, infectious disease physician, associate dean, Global Health, University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Coming up after a short break, lots of cancer cases might be missed because of the pandemic. Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar says she was diagnosed with breast cancer earlier this year. She did get successful treatment through surgery and radiation, but she admitted she skipped her annual breast cancer screening appointment last year during the heart of the pandemic. Dr. Nimi Kapoor is a breast surgical oncologist at Cedars-Sinai Cancer Center in L.A. Doctor, the senator isn't alone, is she, when it comes to skipping screenings?
She's not alone. Thank you for having me and bringing this up. It is a very important issue. We're seeing so many women were postponing or canceling their screening mammograms, but their cancer doesn't get postponed because of this pandemic.
So then what happens? They come in and it's at more of an advanced stage because it wasn't caught early?
It certainly can be. We're probably going to see this data in the next couple of years, seeing a slight increase in the stage when cancer is showing up. So, yes, we definitely need to take care of ourselves, get those annual screening mammograms, despite what's going on in the rest of the world.
Are you worried because, you know, sometimes all these stories do backfire? Are you worried that some women are now going to go, oh, well, you know, I missed it, you know, the screening because of COVID, and I see what happened with Senator Klobuchar, and now I'm really afraid to go in because I'm sure that that lump I'm feeling is cancerous?
Oh, I sure hope not. I hope women are more proactive and thoughtful. Certainly, there's all kinds of fears running through all of our minds these days, but really getting the screening is important. I hope women don't go too in the dark and try to avoid their own health screening.
And we know that the early screenings are so important because your door is open to way more options at that point if you do get something and you catch it very early.
Oh, definitely. Look at Senator Klobuchar. She was able to maintain less of a major surgery, ideally less significant treatment in the body because it was caught early enough. So if we find these things early, we start our screening mammograms at age 40 annually, we can really catch things before they become a major problem.
Now, I know, of course, that your specialty is breast cancer, but this is an issue that cuts across all, you know, genders, different diseases, right? Because people haven't been going in for colonoscopies. They haven't been going to dermatologists for skin checks, the whole thing.
That's true. You know, the number one cancer is going to be skin cancer. So getting that skin check is important. For women after that, it's breast cancer. And for men, we're looking at colon and prostate cancer. None of these cancers are stopped by a pandemic being a present. So we really got to remember to take a look and take care of ourselves.
Do you think it was just the simple idea, like, I don't want to go anywhere medical when COVID was crazy and we weren't having anybody vaccinated? But now it's like, okay, you guys have your vaccines. Maybe the patient has theirs. We're doing masks anyway. So that excuse is kind of gone at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, it was so scary. We didn't know what was going on. I mean, I'll admit, as a surgeon, I was concern about going into a hospital, coming to work. Definitely a lot of that fear is alleviated with vaccination and the proper masking protocols. And if women are concerned, they can always check the imaging facility or the screening center to see what are you doing for COVID precautions. And most of them will have really clear protocols in place now. So it's much safer.
How many cases are you seeing sort of a rash of cases of women who did not go for checkups and are now being diagnosed with breast cancer?
There was a 3-month lull when we were even told not to do any screening because it was just screening in the very beginning, back in March 2020. That's when we kind of slowed down and kind of closed things to routine screening. And after that, it's just been nonstop. People keep coming in. Cancers keep getting found. It's definitely been a lot of pressure on all of us.
All right. Make your appointments. Dr. Nimi Kapur, breast surgical oncologist, Cedars-Sinai Cancer Center. Thanks so much.
Remember those state vaccine lotteries and plans to give people free beer and gift cards? So have they worked out to get more shots into arms? A University of Pennsylvania study says not really. It finds statewide vaccination incentive programs do nothing to boost vaccination rates. The study compared daily vaccination rates in 24 states with reward programs in June to vaccination rates in the 26 states without incentive programs and found no effect. One of the study's authors says the findings are disappointing, but it doesn't mean incentives don't have any kind of impact. He says incentives from employers and maybe local cities would probably work better. You can find this Odyssey original podcast and others on Odyssey.com and the Odyssey.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. And be sure to hit the subscribe button.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me.
Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.